Thank you, and indeed I do need your prayers. Last night at a graduation party, my thoughts were just a clutter of thoughts. I'm hoping that they're more organized now, but I still have some trepidation about where I am at in preparing. I like giving a title to my sermon so that it helps you focus on what in each scripture it is that I am focusing on. And the title today is probably going to be more confusing than help, but I hope that by the time we get through, I will have explained that title and make it sense to it, out of it to you. The title I've given it is Fear and Great Joy. You know, life is somewhat of a roller coaster. When we consider our physical life, there are days that we are feeling wonderful, and in a matter of a few minutes, we can be feeling very sick. Or we may go to bed just feeling terrible and get up in the morning feeling wonderful. Our spiritual life is very much the same. We can feel very, very close to God, and something happened in just a short few seconds, and we feel isolated and lost and deserted. Our emotional life is very much the same. We can be feeling great, and then we can feel lost. Today, we're dealing with fear and joy, two emotions, feelings that are somewhat opposite. I would like to begin with Job, the 28th chapter and the 20th verse. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. Job is seeking wisdom, and he's wondering, where does it come from? Where is the source of wisdom? The world doesn't know, but God knows. For he looketh into the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he maketh a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Job was seeking wisdom, and God gave it to him where to seek it. And it's in the fear of the Lord. But the second part is equally important. To depart from evil is understanding. I'd like to turn now to Psalms. And the 111th Psalm is the one I'll choose. Actually, the last verse of 111 and the first verse of 112. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Here again, the fear of the Lord and keeping his commandments. There is a relationship between those two entities. I'd like to go now to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Begin with the 12th to the 14th verse. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, and all that therein is. Let's give down to the 20th verse. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. It's the fear of the Lord. One more verse, or one more reading. I'm going to go to the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. I'm going to read the beginning at the 7th verse. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And I just read three scriptures before that said, fear the Lord. Here he's saying, fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the works of this law. The fear of the Lord, keeping the commandments, understanding the law, reading the word. They're all related. There is not a contradiction in this scripture where it says, fear not, neither be dismayed. There is a difference between fearing God and fearing what's in this earth. We are commanded not to fear what's on earth, but we are commanded to fear God. I would like to turn to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and read the verse 6 and 8 through 8. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We are not given to fear what is here on earth, but we are to fear our Heavenly Father. I'd like now to turn to the Book of Mormon. It's 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter. It's on page 75. I'm going to begin with the 46th verse. And now I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore he shall execute judgment in righteousness, and the righteous need not fear, for it is they which shall not be confounded. But it is the kingdom of the devil which shall be built up among the children of men, which kingdom is established among them which are in the flesh. For the time speedily shall come that all churches which are built up to get gain, and all they which are built up to get power over the flesh, and they which are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, and they which seek the lust of the flesh and the things of the world, and do all manner of iniquity, yea, in fine, all they which belong to the kingdom of the devil, it is they which need fear and tremble and quake. It is they which must be brought low in the dust. It is they which must be consumed as stubble. And this is according to the words of the prophet, the Holy One of Israel. The reason I have approached this subject, my heart was torn a number of weeks back. I was in my car, and I believe I was headed to work, but it doesn't make any difference. I turned the radio on, and I got just a little blip of a message that was left on a 911 call to the mass center. Because of a murder at a mass center here in this city area. I'm not sure where. I don't know the details, and I may misrepresent it to some extent, and I hope I don't. But a man was in a vehicle. He had just committed murder, two murders. He had killed, I believe it was his ex-wife and her lover. And he was calling to report that murder. He was an intelligent man. He was a young man, healthy. He seemed coherent. He told her of what he had done. The horrible scene that awaited the emergency crews. And he told her that he was in his car, gave the highway number. She was wanting to know where he was going. And very calmly he said, "To hell, I suppose. But I hope that God will forgive me." Something didn't jive. Something was wrong. How could he be so calm and say that he was going to hell if he had any concept of what our God requires, what he offers, and what he demands? But he was calm. He was in the process of driving himself straight up to the gates of hell. And he was calm. There was no fear. And that jarred me. We have the responsibility to share the gospel. And our God is a God of love. But he's also a God of justice. And he demands that we have a fear of him, of his justice. We have a hope in his love and his mercy. And so I want each of us to instill in our heart a fear of sin. As I read, it is the wicked, the ones who choose to serve God, or not serve God, but to serve man and to serve the devil. They are the ones that need fear. And who of us are perfect? When have we turned totally away from serving the devil and serving ourselves? We each need an element of the fear of the Lord. I would like to read out of Alma, the 19th chapter. On page 448. We'll begin with verse 45. "And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of the wicked, yea, that are evil, for behold, they have no part nor portion of the Spirit of the Lord. For behold, they choose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and take possession of their house." And these shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil. Now this is the state of the souls of the wicked, yea, in darkness, and a state of awful, fearful, looking for of the fiery indignation of the wrath of God upon them. Thus they remain in this state, as well as the righteous in paradise, until the time of their resurrection. Now, let's see. I'd like to skip down to verse 56 and pick it up there. But whether it be at his resurrection or after, I do not say. But this much I say, that there is a space between the death and the resurrection of the body, and a state of the soul in happiness or in misery, and until the time which is appointed of God, that the dead shall come forth and be reunited both soul and body, and be brought to stand before God, and be judged according to their works. Yea, this bringeth about the restoration of these things, of those things of which have been spoken by the mouth of the prophets. The soul shall be restored to the body, and the body to the soul. Yea, and every limb and joint shall be restored to its body. Yea, even a hair of the head shall not be lost, but all things shall be restored to its proper and perfect frame. And now, my son, this is the restoration of which has been spoken by the mouths of the prophets. And then shall the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of God. But behold, an awful death cometh upon the wicked, for they die as to things pertaining to things pertaining of righteousness, for they are unclean, and no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of God. But they are cast out, and consigned to partake of the fruits of their labors, of their works, which have been evil, and they drink the dregs of a bitter cup. There was another reason that I felt to preach this sermon, and it occurred on a Wednesday night. One of our brothers shared a testimony. In his life was a number of trials, a number of temptations, major ones. He was struggling. He came to a crossroads. He had to make a choice. He could either serve God and go according to the commandments, or he could serve himself. He was leaning towards running from a problem, making it easier on himself to drop out, to disappear, and not face the problem, the trial God had set before him. He still is in that trial. He still requests our prayers. But at the appropriate time, God gave him a dream, a vision. And in that, it was brought black and white, the choice. And he was given the privilege of looking into this reward if he chose wrongly. And at this time, I'm going to let him tell you what he's seen and felt.
Several months ago, I was in the process of leaving because of the problems that I had in my life with my marriage. And I'd already locked the door on my house, and I'd taken my dog to some friends. And I was going to give them my dog to find a home for him. And this friend asked what I was doing, what was going on, and I kind of explained the situation to her. And at the end of this conversation, she looked me right in the eye and she says, "Are you going to go to church now?" I thought about it for a couple seconds because I hadn't been to church for a while and I wasn't even thinking of church. And I thought about it and I said, yes, I'm going to go to church. And when I said that, the Lord showed me a vision. He showed me and my wife standing in front of the gates of hell. And the utter despair and hopelessness that was coming off of those gates because of what we were doing in our life. And because I made a choice, I guess the Lord prompted her heart to ask that question. The Lord turned my face upward and He gave me hope. And that night I came to church. And I stood up and I asked God for forgiveness for the things that I had done. And the peace that I've received every time I have come here has helped me greatly.
I think there is a happy ending to this story, but I wanted you to be able to share what Kenneth had shared with us. There is a reason to fear our God. I'm not wanting you to serve Him because you're scared. I want you to serve Him because you love Him. And so at this point, I want to kind of change our focus. There is reason to fear our God, but there is a great joy. And Kenneth was brought to that crossroad, and he was shown in such contrasting situation. He could serve God, or he could be faced with this fear, this dread, this despair. I would like to turn to the 8th chapter of Mosiah. It's on page 253. And we begin with verse 61. But behold, and fear, and tremble before God, for ye had ought to tremble, for the Lord redeemeth none such that rebelleth against Him, and dieth in their sins. Yea, even all those that have perished in their sins, ever since the world began, that have willfully rebelled against God, that have known the commandments of God, and would not keep them. These are they that have no part in the first resurrection. Therefore, had ye not ought to tremble? For salvation cometh to none such, for the Lord hath redeemed none such. Yea, neither can the Lord redeem such, for He cannot deny Himself, for He cannot deny justice when it hath its claim. And now I say unto you, that the time shall come that the salvation of the Lord shall be declared to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. He has talked about a great fear, a reason to fear if we are in sin. But there is a salvation for this lost state. And He's saying that there is going to come a time when the whole world will be declared this salvation. And I'm here to say that that salvation has been declared. Yea, Lord, Thy watchmen shall lift up their voice, with the voice together shall they sing, For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. There is a salvation, a reason for great joy. We do not have to live in despair, in hopelessness. I would like now to go to Mormon, the fourth chapter. That's on page 709. And begin with the 53rd verse. Why do you not think that greater is the value of endless happiness than that misery which never dies because of the praise of the world? Why do ye adorn yourselves with that which hath no life, and yet suffer the hungry and the needy and the naked and the sick and the afflicted to pass by you and notice them not? Yea, why do you build up your secret abominations to get gain, and cause the widows should mourn before the Lord, and also orphans to mourn before the Lord, and also the blood of their fathers and their husbands to cry unto the Lord from the ground for vengeance upon your heads? Behold, the sword of vengeance hangeth over you, and the time soon cometh that he avengeth the blood of the saints upon you, for he will not suffer their cries any longer. I'd like now to skip to the 93rd verse, that same chapter. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that you may consume it on your lust, but ask with a firmness unshaken, that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. See that ye are not we could go on, but we don't need to. We are here to make a choice. And it's difficult for us to see that choice because we are enticed by the lust, by the popularity, by all the pressures for us to do evil. We are enticed. These mists of darkness that are upon this earth. And it's difficult for us to see that it is much greater joy to why do you not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness? There is this joy, this reward of endless happiness that we have allowed our minds to be a haze to come before us so that we cannot see and focus on this happiness. And we are sucked into this by and forbidden paths that lead us into destruction. I would like now to go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Again with verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yea, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. I kind of feel like that is where I'm doing. I'm speaking to you who are righteous, who are striving to serve. And that's what Paul was talking to the Corinthians. He's speaking to them of wisdom, not of the world's wisdom, but of God's wisdom, this fear of the Lord. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard. Neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I know that you are all striving, and I'm not wanting to put this dark blanket of fear upon you. But there is a level of fear that we need to walk in, the fear of our God, because he cannot deny justice. He is the God of love and mercy, but there is that element of justice that he cannot deny, and we cannot avoid, or we cannot forget. We cannot put it out of our thoughts. We live under that fear of the justice of our Lord. I'd like now to turn to 1 Peter. First chapter. I'm going to begin with the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. A wonderful joy. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now, for a season if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is what Ken has described to him, to us, of the trial that he went through. We are in this period for a short period, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We all have these temptations. God provides the strength. He provides the guidance, the support. We have to make ourselves avail of those. Whom having not seen, and he's talking about Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. It is the suffering that Jesus went through that provides this salvation, this hope, this joy. And it was prophesied from the beginning. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look unto. You is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's works, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Our time is short. It's fleeting. We make a choice. And by those choices, we either live in fear or in great joy. It seems a little difficult to understand how to interrelate fear and joy in our life. And yet both of those are essential. There was an example that I will close with of a few ladies who approached the sepulcher of Jesus Christ on the day of his resurrection. They walked away from that sepulcher with both joy and with fear. And that is how we need to walk our lives. It's found in the 28th chapter of Matthew. And in closing, I'll read verses 5 through 8. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Do we each seek Jesus? He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word.
Thank you, Brother Don. Isn't God's punishment just? You think what he did. He, being perfect, sent his son, who was perfect. He showed us the way. He showed us love. We spat upon him. We mocked him. We bruised him with our sins. We put him on a cross. We crucified him. He, being perfect, took the punishment of our sins. And so, if we forever abuse his laws, our punishment is just. So let's look to him, because our hope is in him. Our strength is in him. Our joy is in him. I really appreciated our brother Ken's testimony, because he knew where he stood before God. God gave him the vision, and he knew where he stood before God. He knew what he'd done to God. But God gave him hope instead of punishment. In this life, we have hope. So we should fear God. Look to him. Read his word. Pray to him. Do his will. And have joy in it. Let's finish with the singing of hymn number 193. and stand when you found your place. Would you bow your heads with our brother Dan Lawrence in prayer, please?
Well, Lord our God, thou truly art great and wonderful, and we stand in awe of your tender mercy towards us, your love towards us, that you granted us the gift of hearing your word. We're thankful, dear Lord, for your spirit to give us understanding of these things. And I ask humbly, dear Lord, that these things would be emblazoned upon my heart and on the hearts of these, my dear brothers and sisters, that we might be able to remember these things through the power of your Holy Spirit, that these things would be brought to our remembrance in time of need, that we might be lifted up and given strength and courage, that we might truly have that joy that comes only from thee, that we might know, dear Lord, that in our darkest hour, you are but a word away. You are but a call. A whispered prayer that we might return unto you, that our fear for you might be of great and awesome love and respect for your power, for your love, for your mercy, that we might order our lives in such a fashion that we might one day stand before Thee unashamed. Gracious Lord, I ask that You would continue with each one of us this day, that we might dedicate this day to You and to Your praise and to reflection upon Your word and upon Your desires and will for us in our lives, that we might truly do Your will and be Your faithful and loving servants. So, gracious Lord, as we come to the end of this service, we thank You for You for all the bountiful blessings of this life that You've granted unto us, and for the promise of that life eternal. And we pray in the holy and precious name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.